Good evening, everyone. This is Brother Brandon coming to you live from Fayetteville, Arkansas, with another Fishers of Men video broadcast. And like to welcome you all tonight to our Friday night Bible study service, as if you would like to call it that. We are going through the book of Romans tonight. We've been going through the book of Romans. We're still going to go through the book of Romans tonight. And we're going to be getting into the second half of Romans chapter 8. And so we're going to be getting into that. I've got a lot of scriptures to share with you tonight. Got a lot of material. So if I talk really super fast, please forgive me. Just bear with me. Got a lot of scripture to share. I've got like 30 plus scriptures to share in addition to the verses that we'll be reading from our the second half of Romans 8. So we've got a lot of ground to cover and a lot of areas to touch on tonight. But before we begin with our message, I'm going to try something new. I'm going to try to sing a cappella a hymn, and then we'll get into announcements. And then we'll get into prayer requests, and then we'll get into the message. So we're going to try this out and see how it works, and we'll go from there. Amen. Excuse me. Now, I could say, if you have your hymn books, but none of you guys have hymn books, so I'm not going to say that. But in my hymn book, I'm going to go to hymn number 293, which is Amazing Grace. And we're going to, I'm going to sing that a cappella, and then we'll go from there. So it is hymn number 293 in my hymn book. I'm going to sing Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amen. That was Amazing Grace. So that's the hymn that we'll sing tonight, which I did. And now we will go into announcements. Amen. Announcements. Something that was brought to my attention Don't forget to set your clock's head an hour on Sunday. No, not Sunday. On Saturday evening, tomorrow night, don't forget to set your clocks ahead. Okay? Don't forget to set your clocks ahead an hour. Because how does that work? We are going on daylight savings time, so you have to set your clocks ahead. Remember, fall back, spring forward. So this is the time that we have to put our clocks forward. So that is the most important announcement. Don't forget to set your clocks ahead tomorrow night. Amen? Now, prayer requests. If you guys have any prayers or praises, you can feel free to mention them in the comments if you'd like. It's up to you. There's not really any new prayer requests. Do pray for me. Do pray for my ministry. Do pray for these videos. Pray that God will use these videos in a mighty way. There is someone that I'm praying for salvation. I won't mention their name, but please pray for them for salvation. There's a fellow sister that wants salvation for family. There's also a fellow brother that wants salvation for lost family members. Please do pray for. I do have family that does tune in and watch. If not, they usually watch later, so pray for them. There is a fellow brother named Joey. He's got pain. He has kind of one of those things that he deals with kind of on a day to day. So pray for brother Joey. He does have pain here and there. So pray for comfort for him. Pray that and listen, if God willing. pray that he might get healed from that pain. If not, just pray that, God will comfort him day to day. Amen. So pray for Brother Joey. Pray for our brothers and sisters. Pray for me. Let's see here. I think that is going to be it for announcements and prayer requests. We sang our hymn, so we'll go ahead and get started. I do want to apologize if I talk really, really fast. I've got a lot of information to cover. Like I said, I've got like 30-some scripture to share with you this evening. And that's not even the scriptures that we're covering in the rest of Romans 8. So we're going to be covering a lot of ground tonight. Pray for me. Pray for the broadcast. Pray for all aspects of this. Amen. Pray that this would be a blessing to others. Pray that, God will take this and use this in a mighty way, and hopefully we'll go from there. Amen. So, with that said, we'll go ahead and get started. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And last week, we've already covered verses 1 through 17, and that took a whole hour. So, we've got even more scripture to cover this time around, and so let's see how well this goes, okay? So pray for me, we're going to be starting in verse 18 tonight, and we're going to hopefully finish the chapter, because we're going to be reading verses 18 through 39, I believe it is. So, good chunk of chapter that we're going to be reading. So, let's go ahead and begin. Romans chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 18. Okay, we're going to be talking, we're going to be discussing a little bit about the anticipation of glory tonight. There's other ones that we're going to be talking about tonight as well as more than conquerors. And that's like that's like the last section that we're going to be getting into. So, starting in verse 18, okay. It says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Let me tell you something about that, okay? Listen up, guys. Jesus said that in this life ye shall have tribulation. He says, take heart, for I've overcome the world. So Jesus promises us that we will have tribulation when we're here. That's a given, okay? But now I want to focus you guys on something here. Paul is saying that the sufferings of this present time, the stuff that we go through this present time, okay, it's not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, what is he talking about? What? No. Excuse me. Okay, so what is he talking about? The glory which shall be revealed in us. That's glorification, folks. You know what happens with glorification? You know what happens when we're in that glorification phase? That phase means that we're glorified, but we're glorified when we go home. So what Paul is saying is the stuff that we go through here is like, shouldn't even be compared to what is going to happen when we go home to be with the Lord. Our sufferings here is very small and very, we might think it's big, but when we go home, we'll realize that the stuff that we went through was small. And so the sufferings that we have is only temporary. But when we go home, we will be glorified and be like in the image, excuse me, of Christ. Now, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall deliver from the bondage of corruption. Bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan with ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, let's go take a look at some other scripture here. With that section of verses that we just talked about. I got my phone here. I know it's kind of bright. But I want us to go to... Okay, so if we go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 through 18. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 through 18. It says, okay, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So, we're starting to see here that our affliction is only for a moment. Amen. Our affliction only is for a moment, but worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Amen. So our affliction is only for a moment. Remember what God says, okay? Our life is nothing but a what? A vapor. We don't know when we're going home. Our affliction is only for a moment. Amen. It's not going to last into eternity. Okay? If you're born again, it's not going to last into eternity. It's only for a moment. Now, let's go to Colossians. Colossians 3:4. Colossians 3:4 says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Amen. So when he appears, we'll also appear with him in glory. And Titus 2:13. Let's go there. Titus 2:13. I think you guys know what that verse is. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen, our affliction may be temporary, but as believers, what do we fix our eyes on? We fix our eyes not on the coming of the Antichrist, but we focus on the coming of Jesus Christ. We wait, and we wait patiently for his glorious appearing, because when he appears, then we will be glorified, and we will be caught up and glorified with him and see him as he is. And we won't have to be going through afflictions anymore when we go home. And therefore, we could take great hope, even through trials and tribulations, that he is coming soon, folks. We don't know when, but he is coming soon. And when he comes to gather his bride, we will be caught up. And we will be with him forevermore. And right now, Jesus is preparing a place for you. And if he prepares a place for you, he's going to come again and receive you to himself. Amen? Now, let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3-7. Or, I think that's supposed to be 3:7. I'm sorry. My handwriting is really bad. Oh, no. That's not it. Hang on a second. I don't know. I think I messed up on something. I think it's supposed to be 1 Peter 1:3-7. Whoops, maybe not. Okay, Boy, I wish I knew what I wrote. I can't even understand my own writing sometimes. I guess we'll just go ahead and I'm not sure. Let me see. 1 Peter 3. Oh, it is here. Hang on a second. No, it is. Okay. Now, it is 1 Peter. I apologize. Listen, just because I preach to you does not mean I won't make mistakes, because you just witnessed that, okay? I'm just as human as all you guys. Okay, in 1 Peter, okay, chapter 1, verses 3-7, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation." Okay, listen, folks, you don't keep yourself. God keeps you by his power through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You don't keep yourself. God keeps you. What does that tell you? If God keeps you, you can't lose your salvation, folks. You can't. If you're truly born again and you're truly regenerated and filled with the Holy Ghost, you cannot lose your salvation. You know why? Because you don't keep you. God keeps you by his power. And he'll keep you unto that day of Jesus Christ. I want that to be an encouragement for you. Amen? This is good. Ready to be revealed in the last time. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, your trials may be small. Your trials might be big right now. But you know what? Those trials are for a moment. Remember that. Your trials are only for a moment. Your life is as a vapor. And when you go home, you'll be glorified. And it's God that keeps you. You don't keep yourself. And God keeps you by His grace and His mercy. Amen? So, let's go to verse 24. Okay? It says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Okay, so if you're able to see it, there is no hope in that because you see it. You only hope for things that you don't see. We're saved by hope. Amen. What is Jesus Christ? He is our blessed hope. We cannot see Him, but we know He exists. He's alive, and He's at the right hand of God. Amen. Now, let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 11:1. Sorry. Oops. Hebrews 11:1. Okay. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if you hope in Jesus Christ, your faith is the substance of that hope. And it's things that you hope for that are not seen. Amen? Let's go back. "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So you have hope, and faith is the substance of that hope. Does that make sense with you guys? I hope it does. Romans 4:18. Romans 4:18. It says, "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." Okay? That's talking about Abraham. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, and let's go to 4:18. 4:18. Think about that. Romans 4:18. Now we're going to 2 Corinthians 4:18. Okay? It says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Lay hold unto eternal life, folks. Lay hold unto that. Put your hope and faith in Christ. In Christ you cannot see, but soon we will see Him face to face as He is, and we will be glorified as He is. But for now, we have to go through things. We have tribulations and trials that we go through, but this is only for a season. Because when we go home, we will be glorified and we will be like Christ. We'll be like in his image and we will see him face to face. And when we see him face to face, that will be the fulfillment of our hope. That will be the fulfillment of our salvation. You know why? Because when we go home to be with Christ, our salvation is complete, it's secure, and we will be with Christ for all eternity. Amen. But salvation begins when a person comes to know Christ and puts their faith and trust in what Christ did for them at the cross. That's the beginning of salvation and the fulfillment of it. The fulfillment, that payment that's been fulfilled of our salvation is when we go home to be with the Lord. Because when we go home to be with the Lord, we won't have to hope anymore. Because we already see Christ as he is. We won't have to hope anymore. We will know. Things that you see is not hope. Things you don't see is hope. Amen. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." By faith, not by sight. Let's go to Titus. Titus 3:7. It says, "That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." You know what? When we're in this body on earth, eternal life, salvation, is our hope. But when we get home, it's no longer a hope because we finally have arrived home. And we see it. Amen. Now, let's continue on, folks. Does this make sense? I hope this is making sense to you. I hope that you're getting something from this. This is good stuff. This is really good stuff. Now, let's go to verse 26. Okay? And we'll read through verse 27. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Now, let's go to Job. Let's go to Job 37, 19. Okay. It says, "Teach us, what shall we say unto him? For we cannot order our speech by reason of darkness. Teach us what we shall say unto him." Teach us what we shall say unto him. Amen. Let's go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 1. It says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. The word of God is quick and powerful and knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts." The word of God is that pure DNA that is quick and alive and knows what is in your heart. Amen. Jesus said, "My words are spirit, and they are life." Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17:10. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Can I tell you something? whether you're saved or lost, you bear fruit. Lost people bear fruit. But do you know what kind of fruit they bear? They bear really bad and bitter fruit. That's the lost. But people who are born again, God will work in them and will bring forth that fruit. And every believer that is born again will bear good fruit. For a bad tree cannot bear good fruit, and a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Jesus said, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." You shall know them by their fruits. Amen? Ye shall know them. It doesn't say you might know them. He says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." And in that context, Jesus is talking about false prophets. Amen? False prophets. Now, speaking of which, I want to share something with you that I put on Facebook the other day. Okay? A false profession is a false testimony, but real faith brings an honest hope. I'll read that again. A false profession is a false testimony, but real faith brings an honest hope. Think about that. We're talking about hope tonight. Okay? A false prophet brings a false testimony. They lie through their teeth. But if you have faith in Jesus Christ, that brings a honest hope, a truthful hope, a blessed hope. Again, let me read that again. A false profession is a false testimony, but a real faith brings an honest hope. Real faith brings a honest hope. I probably should put an honest hope, but it brings a honest hope. And the only honest hope, I should say. Amen. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts 1, and we're going to read in verse 24. It said, "And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, shew whether of these two thou hast chosen." See, again, we see that the Lord knows the hearts of men. Amen? The hearts of men. Revelation 2:23. Revelation 2:23. "And I will kill your children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." Again, we see the Lord is the one who searches the reins and the hearts of men. Amen? He does. The Lord knows your heart. You can run, but you can't hide from God. You just can't. Now, let's move on. And we're going to be talking about now this last section of the chapter is more than conquerors. Okay, we're going to be talking about that next. So starting in verse 28, okay, and we'll read through verse 30. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Folks, can I tell you something? All the trials and tribulations that we go through in our lives, God will use that for your own good. He will make that work for the good to you that love him and are called according to his purpose. God will make these trials and tribulations work for the good. Think about Job. And you want to know something? Even after when Job was done, God blessed him. God blessed him even more after all that he went through. But God made what Job went through work for his good. Amen. Now, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, that is not a Calvinistic, that's not a Calvinistic verse, though I bet you a lot of the Calvinists will point that out and say, well, see, he only predestinated some. But, let me tell you something, folks. Christ did not die for a few. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. And by the way, the Bible also says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not just a few, it's a whosoever. It is not God's will for any to perish, but for all men to come to repentance. He didn't say some men, he said for all men to come to repentance. So this verse is not a Calvinistic verse. Okay? Moreover, whom he did predestinate means all those who got saved, and even all those who will get saved. Everybody, every Gentile, Jew or Gentile that gets saved is predestined to be in Christ's image. Everybody that's saved. Not just a few, but everybody. Everybody. Amen? Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians again. 2 Corinthians, and we'll go to 4:15. It's the... Oh, yeah. So for all things, for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. Why did I put that verse down? I can't remember. Huh. Okay. So, let's go to Ephesians 1:11. Ephesians. Ephesians 1:11. It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We just read that in the previous verse, didn't we? That God will make all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. Amen. Now, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. It says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Amen. The elect is talking about God's people, even those who will be God's people. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 6:11. And I'm sorry I'm kind of going a little bit fast, but I do got a lot of verses to cover still, and we still got some more scripture to read. And it says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. We're sanctified and justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 5. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the will of his, according to the good pleasure of his will. And last but not least for this section is 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Now, let's continue on back to Romans 8 now. And we're going to be reading here in verses. In this section, we're going to be reading verses 31 to 34. Okay, 31 to 34. It says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If you're truly born again and regenerated and filled with the Spirit of God, God is for you. He said, he promises, Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will always be with thee on even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus promises that he will be with you. He will always be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, let's go to Psalm. Let's go to Psalm 56:9. It says, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. God is for me. When my enemies turn back, this I know, for God is for me. You know that God is for you. He's not against you. He is for you. If you are born again today, and you're spirit-filled, and you're born again, God is for you. But if you are lost, you are an enemy of God. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? If you are a friend of this world, you are an enemy of God. But if you're born again and you're spirit filled and you are regenerated, God is for you. Amen. God is for you. Let's go to 1 Kings 8:57. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us. And Jesus promises us he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. Let's go to 2 Kings 6:16. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Let me tell you something. This is Elijah. This is Elisha talking to his servant. And Elisha and the servant are surrounded by their enemies. And Elisha tells his servants that there are more with us than there are with them. And he prays to his servant that God would open his eyes. And when the servant has his eyes open, he sees the chariots of God up on the mountains, getting ready to go after their enemies. There are more with us than there are with them. Amen. What a great promise. And sometimes I think we should, you know, we should stand on the promises of God. Amen. When we go through things, we should. We all should stand on the promises of God. And that's a good promise. Amen. Now, Psalms 118, verse 6. It says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" Let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah 41:10. "For thou, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Amen to that. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Now, John 3:16. We all know this verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If there is any verse that will take away from the Calvinistic view, it's this one right here. It's "whosoever believeth." It doesn't just say "some who believeth." It's "whosoever believeth." Are you a whosoever? If you are, then you can believe. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah again. Isaiah 50, verse 8. It says, "He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me." And last but not least, we still have many more verses to go, but last but not least for this section. Okay, let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 18, verse 7. "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with him?" You want to know something? You know who the elect is? The elect are God's people, whether Jew or Gentile. If you are a born-again, regenerated, Spirit-filled child of God, you are the elect. You are a saint. You are the elect. Amen? And by the way, don't get revenge. Repay evil with good. Because one of these days, God will avenge his people. Let God avenge his people. Don't take it upon yourself. Let God do that. Because God can do it so much better than you and I could. Amen? We're to love our enemies. We're to pray for them. But let God avenge his enemy. Let God avenge our enemies. Let God avenge us. In other words, that's what I'm saying. I probably didn't say it right, so I apologize. But what I'm trying to say is let God avenge us to our end. Let God avenge us. Don't take it upon yourself. God will deal with our enemies. God will avenge his people. Amen? Now, believe it or not, we've got one more section left, and we'll be done with Romans 8. Amen. We'll be done with Romans 8. And look at that. So almost 8:30. We've been at it for almost an hour. Praise the Lord. And I want to just apologize. Just take a moment here. I do apologize if I'm going really, really, really fast. I hope I'm not going too fast. But as you see, we went through a lot of scripture. We went through a whole bunch of scripture. Okay? We went through a lot of it. And we only have a few left. Okay? But we'll pick up, let's go back to Romans chapter 8, and we will pick up in verse 35. it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is saying that neither of these things that he mentions will separate you from the love of God. He even goes as to say, not even things to come, future things to come, won't separate you from the love of God. Amen to that. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Psalms. Let's go to Psalms 44:22. It says, yea, for the sake are we killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Amen. And that's what Paul was referencing here. He was referencing Psalm 44:22. Okay. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I'll tell you what, I think there is no 1 Corinthians. I wonder. We'll go to Ephesians. I can't remember what that was. When I write things down, I sometimes tend to forget the chapter. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 3. Now, when I said 1 Corinthians 55 to 58, there is no chapter 55. Okay, I'm just putting that out on the record. I'm not using some weird odd translation. I just forgot to put the chapter down. But the verses were supposed to be 55 to 58, and I can't remember exactly what the chapter was on that. And I didn't write it down. That's my fault. Okay, we'll have to come back to that one. But Ephesians chapter 3, let's go to 17 through 19. Okay, 17 through 19 of Ephesians. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. Four things. Think about that. Could that be talking about the dimensions? The fourth dimension. Breadth, length, depth, and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. So to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, we ought to be, well, first of all, it says that Christ may dwell in our hearts. That's number one, by faith. But then he talks about being rooted and grounded in love. Let me tell you something. If you don't have Christ in your hearts, you cannot be rooted and grounded in love. If you don't have Christ in your hearts, you will not be rooted and grounded in love. But if you have Christ in your hearts by faith, then we ought to be rooted and grounded in love. And that can only be done with the help of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, let me see here. I think I know what chapter that is in 1 Corinthians. I think it's 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 to 58. Yes. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. We are conquerors in Christ. You know why? Because Christ conquered the death. He conquered death and he conquered the grave. And in Christ, we are conquerors. We are conquerors. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Amen. Christ conquered death. Christ conquered the grave. Death. The grave cannot hold him. And death couldn't sustain him. For God would not allow his Holy One to see corruption. Amen. Let's see here. Let me see if I can find that here. Let's see here. To see. In Psalm 16, verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. In Acts 2:27, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. In Acts 13:35, wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Christ conquered death. He conquered the grave. And if you are in Christ, how much more are you conquerors in Christ? Amen. You are conquerors in Christ. And tribulation and all the things that we go through will not separate you from the love of God. Angels won't even separate you from the love of God. Let me ask you something. If angels can't separate you from the love of God, how much more can't devils separate you from the love of God? Because you know what devils are, don't you? Devils are fallen angels. And Paul says, neither. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. If you want to know the love of God, know Christ. Do you know why? Because God's love is Christ. Let's wrap this up. I promise we'll wrap this up and we'll be done for the night. Go to John with me. Go, turn with me to John. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Hope, I'm hoping this is a blessing to you guys. Hoping that you guys are getting something out of it. My prayer and hope is that people's lives would be changed as a result of these videos. Amen. But John chapter 3. verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Do you want to know something? You want to know what God's love is? John 3:16. God's love is a sacrificial giving love. There's no greater love than this, for a man to lay his life down for his friends. There's no greater love for a man to lay his life down for his friends. Amen. God so loved the world, he sacrificially gave his Son for us. He gave. God's a giver. God gives. Amen. God gives. He gave his only begotten Son. And Christ so loved us that he willingly laid his life down, went to that cross, died for our sins, paid it in full, and said, "It is finished." And he gave his life for the church. He gave his life for his people, so that we may experience and have and possess eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because I'm going to tell you something, when you become born again and spirit filled, you become a possessor of Christ and his Spirit, and you become a possessor of the gift of eternal life. God's love is a sacrificial love. How much more should we do the same? We are to love Christ and love others. Let me ask, I want to say this, okay? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if you don't know that if heaven would be your home, you can know for sure today that you can have that assurance today. Okay, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. And it's very simple. All you have to do is cry out to God. Ask him to save you. Ask him to come into your heart and life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Cry out to him and ask him to save you. If you do that, he'll save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's very simple. It's not complicated. It's very simple. Amen. Now, I want to challenge you guys on something. Believers, I want to challenge you on this. Do you really love your neighbor? Do you really love your brothers and sisters? Do you really love them? Would you be willing to give up your time or give up your talents or anything to serve Christ but to serve others? Are you willing to put yourself last? Are you willing to sacrificially give to your brothers and sisters? And I'm not talking about money, and I'm not talking about food or anything like that. It could be simply just your time. Do you love your neighbor? Because I want to challenge you with this. if we truly love our neighbor, if all of us truly loved our neighbors, we would take the time to witness to others. We would take our time to talk with others, to be a light to others. Sometimes we ought not to, sometimes we don't do that. And I'm going to tell you something. To sacrificially give to others can simply just be taking the time to text somebody saying, how are you doing? Just checking up on them. It could be anything. Just talking with your brothers and sisters, checking up on them. You know, asking, you know, seeing how their day is, asking if you could pray for them, you know, stuff like that. That's sacrificial giving. And there is no greater love for a man to lay his life down for his friends. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're willing to put others ahead of yourself, you're being selfless. You're willing to serve others and not yourself. Amen. You're willing to serve others and not yourself. That's how we love our neighbor and our brothers and sisters. We serve others. And by serving others, we show them by our actions that we love and care for them. Amen. And that's all I'm getting at. Amen. Listen, guys, I hope this was a blessing. I hope this was a blessing to you. I apologize, my phone, somebody was trying to call me. I'll have to get back with them. You know, I hope this was a blessing to you. Hope you guys got something out of this. Sunday, I'm not sure what I'm going to be preaching on Sunday. I think we'll probably just, I got to get back into the lust, the three categories of sin series. We have to talk about the lust of the eyes. So we'll be talking about that. We'll see. So pray for me on that. But that's it. That's the end of Romans chapter 8. And next week, we'll be talking about Romans chapter 9. And most likely, we will be splitting that up as well. Amen? Because it's a big, long chapter, and we need to split it up. So, anyways, that's going to be it for the evening. I love you guys. This is Brother Brandon. I am signing off for the evening. I love you guys. God bless you. You guys have a great and blessed weekend. And Lord willing, we'll see you all on Sunday. Love you guys. God bless you. Have a great weekend. See ya.